This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I testify that there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and sisters, once again, we are with this great man, this man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described a mercy, this man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had praised in his holy book, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And speaking about the sacrifices of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and as much as we speak about the sacrifices of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, we will never fulfill the rights that are given to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we heard last how the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam took a new strategy into calling people from outside Mecca to Islam. And he went to the city of Ta'if, and we heard what the people of Ta'if responded back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we continue to hear how the people of Mecca, the leaders of Quraysh, will continue to plan and plot against the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and against the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. But here we are talking about a man who is firm and strong, and nothing will shake him away from the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he is a great example, led by a great example to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. They saw that great example from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how firm he was, alayhi salatu wa sallam, so in return they also became firm and strong. And nothing will shake them radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obtaining that pleasure of Allah azza wa jal and seeking that pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always said and always believed in, that after every hardship, there's an easy way. After every hardship, there's an easy way. And after every struggle, there's an opening. And after 10 years of the prophecy, 10 years the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling to Allah, and not even a day that would not go past without the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or face struggle and face calamities and face hardships from his people, a great gift came to him alayhi salatu wa sallam. A great gift came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam feels that he is doing something, feels that he is appreciated, feels that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. After the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam came from Ta'if, in which he had in his company Zayd bin Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam told Zayd, "Oh Zayd, Allah will give victory to his religion. Allah will give victory to his religion." And the signs of this victory started by that time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted outsiders to embrace Islam. And amongst those who embraced Islam are 10 young men from Medina who embraced Islam and took that light of Islam back to their people for them to come the following year with a number of them from Medina who embraced Islam. But that's not what we'll be talking about tonight. What we'll talk about tonight is a great gift that was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of the scholars say it is the greatest gift ever given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servant. And that gift was Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj. Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, which means Al-Isra' is a word that means when someone travels during the night. And Al-Mi'raj means ascending, someone climbing or ascending up high. And this is referring to the night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam on a night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. From Mecca to Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet his fellow brothers from the prophets and messengers through every heaven until he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawla linuriyahu min ayatina innahu as-sami'u al-basir. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, glory be to Allah. Glory be to Allah, the one that taken his servant. And Allah refers to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in that verse as the servant. Glory be to Allah, the one that had taken his servant on a night journey from Masjid al-Haram, which is in Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa, which is Jerusalem. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so we could show him from our verses and miracles. And Jerusalem is the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as Allah also describes in that verse, the place that Allah had blessed and the place that Allah Azza wa Jalla had blessed around it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free that place from the oppression of the Jews. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanted to grant his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a gift that was never ever granted to anyone before him. And let the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam narrate that moment where he says, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that I was sleeping in the Hatim. And the Hatim is that disconnected part of the Kaaba, which is part of the Kaaba. A round circle that's known to be Hijr Ismail. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, in one night I was sleeping in the Hatim, which means he's sleeping in the Kaaba because the Hatim is part of the Kaaba. Alayhi salatu wasalam says, in one night I was sleeping in the Hatim, and then out of a sudden, halfway through the night or throughout the night, Jibreel alayhi salam will come to me. And he'll wake me up and say, oh Muhammad, get up. Oh Muhammad, get up. Who is saying that to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Jibreel. And what's Jibreel doing? He is coming on the behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel is coming on the behalf of Allah azza wa jal to wake Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and to tell him to get up. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at that moment will respond to the orders of Jibreel, and he gets up. And then he, Jibreel alayhi salam, will reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam the purpose of this unexpected visit during this moment, where he calls him and he says, you are wanted. Wanted. Wanted by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are wanted, and you are wanted by Allah azza wa jal. And he, Allah, had commanded me to take you from here to ascend you to him to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was an invitation direct from Allah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. A direct invitation from Allah, the Lord of the universe, to his beloved messenger and prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to be taken from Mecca and then to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem to be ascended to the heavens and from the heavens to meet Allah azza wa jal above the heavens, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to him. The scholars differ and disagree when exactly that incident took place. Some say it was at the beginning of the prophecy, which is the first year of the prophecy. Others say 5 years after that. Others say 12 years after the prophecy. But most of the scholars say it was on the 27th night of Rajab, the 10th year of the prophecy, the 10th year of the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will be taken by Jibreel and the Buraq. What's the Buraq? The Buraq is a big beast, a great beast. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, this beast is above a donkey and under a mule. Above a donkey and under a mule. How exactly or how does it look like? This is the description the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us. And he said it was white and it had wings. It had wings in its thighs. And the speed of the Buraq was one step as far the Buraq can see. And in the desert, you could see kilometers. So one step of the Buraq is as far the Buraq can see. And that Buraq is a mean of transport that Allah Azza wa Jal had created for the prophets and the messengers. So not only the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam rid on the Buraq, but many prophets and messengers also went on the Buraq alayhi salam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal and this great honorable invitation that came to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he'll go on the back of the Buraq, accompanied with Jibreel alayhi salam, to go to their first destination, which is Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa. Jerusalem is the city, and the mosque in that city is called Masjid al-Aqsa, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, in seconds, he is from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, 2,000 kilometers away to Masjid al-Aqsa, in seconds. As we mentioned, the Buraq will take one step. Each step is as far that Buraq can see. And who's with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam? Jibreel alayhi salam. To go from Mecca, Masjid al-Haram, direct to Masjid al-Aqsa. And here, there is a reason why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Masjid al-Haram straight to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then from Masjid al-Aqsa to ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where Allah Azza wa Jal can ascend his prophet and messenger straight from Mecca to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah Azza wa Jal wanted that destination to take place for us to realize the importance of that great place and that holy sacred place that many Muslims have been unaware of and sleeping over for the many, many years. Masjid al-Aqsa, a great mosque and a sacred place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, a prayer in my mosque, which is referring to the Medina mosque, is equivalent to 1,000 prayers. And a prayer in Masjid al-Haram is equivalent to 100,000 prayers. And a prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa is equivalent to 500 prayers. The first Qibla of all the Muslims. The first Qibla, including for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam prayed towards Masjid al-Aqsa for over 14 years. Over 14 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and the last 9 years of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed towards Masjid al-Haram. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, traveling, that quick travel from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, on the way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will experience, alayhi salatu wa sallam, an unusual experience. What sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will experience is he smell, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a musk perfume, a musk fragrance. So alayhi salatu wa sallam asked Jibreel, oh Jibreel, what's this beautiful smell? What's this beautiful fragrance? What's this beautiful perfume? So Jibreel alayhi salam will say to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is that lady that used to comb the hair of the Pharaoh's daughter. A lady, a Muslim believing lady, she used to comb the hair of the Pharaoh's daughter. So what's so significant about this lady and this believing lady that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam smell a fragrance, a beautiful perfume for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to get to know about the story of this lady. Well, she was a lady, a believing woman, different to the believing women that these days we might hear or see or know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on everyone, and may Allah azza wa jal accept everyone. This believing lady, she sacrificed a sacrifice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her a history, and Allah azza wa jal made her a legacy to every single Muslim, and Muslima including the prophets and messengers, and including the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, that Allah azza wa jal made the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam smell this beautiful musk smell of fragrance on his way to Jerusalem. And the story goes that this believing lady, this believing woman, used to work as a slave for Fir'aun. And her duty was just to comb the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. Her duty was just to comb the hair of the Pharaoh's daughter. And one day, while she was combing the hair of the Pharaoh's daughter, the comb fell out of her hand. So she went to pick it up. And when she went to pick it up, like every other believer will say, Bismillah. So she said, Bismillah. She said, Bismillah. Here the Pharaoh's daughter heard a word that she's never heard before. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah. So she asked her, Allah, do you mean my father? Because Pharaoh used to believe that he is the Lord of the universe. The Pharaoh used to believe he is the master and the Lord and the gods of all mankind. So the Pharaoh's daughter, when she heard this believing lady saying Bismillah while she was picking up the comb, she told her, do you mean my father? So this believing lady said, no, I mean the Lord of your father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is who I meant when I say Bismillah. So this daughter was amazed and she said, is there another Lord beside my father? So this believing lady said, yes, Allah, the one that created you and created your father and created everything around you. So the daughter of the Pharaoh went and informed her father. Her father, with his pride, with his oppression, he thought that he is the one that rules the east and the west. With his arrogance and ignorance, he calls upon this believing lady. How could you worship someone beside me? I am Fir'aun, the Lord of the universe. Who is this Allah that you're talking about? Wal'iyadu billah. So she said, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, the one that created me and created you. So Fir'aun said, do you believe in another Lord beside me? So she said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, not you. Allah, the one that created you. So Fir'aun became so angry and he said, is there a Lord beside me? So she said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Fir'aun refused to accept that he is not the Lord. He refused to accept that there is another Lord to be worshipped and deserves to be worshipped beside him. So he tortured her and continued to torture her and enforce himself on her to be the Lord of the universe. And she'll refuse and always say, Allah is my Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord. So she had four children. She had four children. One of those children was a baby, still breastfeeding, carried by the hands and the arms of his mother. And in front of this believing lady, in front of this believing woman who refused to worship no one beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even under that pressure and under that torture and under these circumstances, what Fir'aun will do, will command his soldiers to bring a pot with boiling water in that pot. And in front of that lady, in front of that mother, one child after the other is taken from her to be casted and thrown into that boiling water. He'll grab the first child and he'll ask her and say, who is your Lord? So she'll say, my Lord is Allah. So he'll throw the first child in the boiling water, burning and dying in front of the sight of his mother. Then he'll say to her, who is your Lord? The second time. And she refused to say that he is the Lord, but she'll say, Allah is my Lord. Look at this woman. We know women are made and created on emotions and passion. But this lady, her emotions and passion did not play a role or did not interfere with her belief with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. in front of her for the second time. Who is the Lord? She'll say, Allah is my Lord. He'll grab the second child and throw him in that boiling water, burning and dying in front of the sight of his mother. The third time, who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah. So he'll grab the third child and throw him in that boiling water, burning and tortured and dying in front of his mother. The first child, the second child, and the third child. Who's left? That baby child that's breastfeeding. Can't even drink, can't even move. Still a baby, being carried by his mother and being looked after by his mother. For the fourth time, who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll grab that baby child, still a baby, Allah alam, maybe months old, to be taken and been thrown in that boiling water, in that pot, so that baby child will speak to his mother and say, oh mom, continue on the path that you are on. You are on the truth and I am in the paradise. You are on the truth and I am in the paradise. And he threw him in the boiling pot. He threw him in the boiling water. Look at this belief. Look at this firm heart. A strong belief from who? You expect that from a man. I'm not any man. Maybe a sahabi, a prophet and a messenger. But that was just an ordinary woman who believed on Allah Azza wa Jal, and her heart was so firm in the belief of Allah. For that, as an honor to her, as an honor to her and to her children, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smelt a beautiful musk perfume and fragrance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about this woman and we know about her. May Allah Azza wa Jal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her the highest of the Jannah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his way from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, who also see a caravan that belongs to the people of Quraysh on their way traveling back from Syria to Mecca. And keep that in your mind, because that plays a big role after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam arrived, he arrived to Masjid al-Aqsa. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and I tied, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied in al-buraq on one of the rings of the doors of Masjid al-Aqsa. And there the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will pray two rak'ah in Masjid al-Aqsa, and then Jibreel will come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He'll come to him with two cups. He'll come to him with two cups. One cup out of milk, or yogurt, laban. The other cup was wine. And Jibreel told the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, choose. This is yogurt and this is wine. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he chose the yogurt and he drank from it. So Jibreel alayhi salam said, oh Muhammad, you have chosen the fitrah. You have chosen the fitrah. You have chosen the nature, the natural thing. By Allah, if you've chosen the wine, if you've chosen the wine over the yogurt, you would have been destroyed and your nation would have been destroyed. But now you've chosen the yogurt, you've succeeded and your nation will succeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of rewards. And now there is conflicting narrations that say that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam met all the prophets and the messengers there at Masjid al-Aqsa and he led the prayers. And then there's other narration that says the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam led the prayers and he met all the prophets and the messengers in Masjid al-Aqsa and then led the prayers with them after he came from the Mi'raj. So there's some narrations that say the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed with the prophets and the messengers before he ascended to the heavens, and some narrations say that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed as an imam with all the prophets and messengers after he sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended to the heavens. Now there's a lot of narrations which are not authentic, especially about the rock in the Masjid al-Aqsa, which is they call it the Sakhra, that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ascended to the heavens, that rock chased him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told that rock to go back where it came from. So it went back and didn't go back to the bottom of the earth. It stayed hanging between the earth and the heavens. And that's something you probably hear a lot. That there is a rock, that the rock in the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, it's flying between the earth and the heavens. And that's not true. That's not true. That rock has no significance. There's nothing. There's no significance about that rock, and there's nothing that's been narrated on that rock. But there's some weak narrations that says that the Prophet ﷺ stepped on it. Others say he prayed on it or prayed next to it. But beside that, there's no more than that. Now this is what we call Al-Isra, which is a night journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now the other part of the journey, which is the most intense and the most important part of the journey, which is Al-Mi'raj. And in Arabic, Mi'raj means ascending. When someone climbs or goes up, they call it Mi'raj. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the company of Jibreel alayhi salam, will start ascending to the heavens, excluding the Buraq. The Buraq does not follow them. So here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Jibreel will start ascending to the heavens. They'll reach to the first heaven. And when we talk about the heavens, is it the actual heavens that we see? This is the skies. Above that, there's something called heavens that we don't see. It's above that. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Jibreel will ascend to the first heavens. Jibreel alayhi salam will ask and excuse himself to enter the first heaven. Will ask for permission and excuse himself to enter the first heaven. So the angels, who are the gatekeepers of the first heaven, will say, "Who is there?" So Jibreel alayhi salam will say, "It is Jibreel." So they will say, "And do you have anyone with you?" So he says, "Yes, I have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So they'll ask, "And was there an invitation sent to him? What reason is he coming? He can't just come in into the heavens like that. Did someone invite him? Is there an invitation?" So Jibreel alayhi salam will say, "Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited him. Allah azza wa jal invited him. Glory be to him." So the gatekeepers of the first heaven will say, "Welcome. We welcome you. You are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are all welcomed and you're all permitted to enter the first heavens." Where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the first heaven will meet our great-grandfather, the father of mankind, Adam alayhi salam. In the first heaven, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will meet our prophet and messenger and father, Adam alayhi salam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam will give salam to Adam. Adam will reply back the salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and welcome him and say, "Welcome, the righteous man, the son of a righteous man." This is not referring to his father Abdullah, but referring to his grandfather Ismail and Ibrahim and the rest of the prophets and messengers. And there the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam describes Adam, and he says, very tall, 60 arms length. And some scholars say arms length of the arms of Adam, not our arms. Because the arms of Adam are longer than our arms. Our arms are about 50 centimeters. So 60 by 50, that's 30 meters. But if it's the arm's length of Adam's arms may be 100 or 200 or 300. So if you say 60 arm's length, Allahu A'lam, how many meters he is and how tall he is. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there were children around Adam alayhi salam, on his right, on his left. And every time Adam will look towards his right, he'll smile and happiness appear on his face. And then when he looks towards his left, he'll grieve and become sad, and sadness will appear on his face. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked Jibreel, why is it that when Adam looks towards his right, he gets happy, and when he looks towards his left, he gets sad? So Jibreel alayhi salam will reply back and say, these are his children, his descendants. These are all the children of Adam. Who looks towards his right, he sees the righteous ones amongst them. And then he looks towards his left and he sees the wicked ones amongst him. So when he looks towards his right and he sees the righteous ones amongst him, he gets happy. And when he looks towards his left and he sees the wicked ones amongst him, he gets sad. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will ascend to the second heaven, the following heaven after the first heaven, where again Jibreel alayhi salam will ask for permission to enter the second heaven. The gatekeepers from the angels will ask, who is there? Jibreel will say, it is Jibreel. So they'll say, and is there anyone with you? And you realize that every time Jibreel alayhi salam will excuse and ask permission to enter a heaven, they'll say, is there anyone with you? Why would they ask that question? The scholars say the angels in the heavens knew the welcoming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew the arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. They knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to visit them. And what a day for the angels to know that the most beloved one to Allah is coming to visit them. Is there anyone with you? He'll say, yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they'll ask, was there an invitation sent to him? And then he'll say, yes. So they will welcome him and welcome the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Where in the second heaven, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will meet Yahya ibn Zakariya and his cousin Isa ibn Maryam. Yahya and Isa, they were cousins. Their mothers were sisters. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will meet Yahya and Isa, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will give them the salam, and they'll respond and reply back the salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam and welcome him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and endorse his prophecy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will move on to the third heaven, and there again Jibreel will ask and excuse himself to enter the third heaven. So the gatekeepers will say, who is there? So Jibreel will say, it's Jibreel. And is there anyone with you? He'll say, yes, it's Muhammad. And was there an invitation sent to him? So he'll say, yes. So they will welcome him and Jibreel, alayhim as-salam, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They'll welcome him and they'll enter the third heaven where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the third heaven, he'll meet his brother Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim alayhim as-salam. Yusuf, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, when I saw him, Allah had given him half of the beauty of this world. Allah had given Yusuf half of the beauty of this world. And we know the famous story of Yusuf alayhi salam, that when it appeared to those women that were talking about him while they were peeling their fruits, and they're peeling their fruits, they saw Yusuf alayhi salam, they forgot about the knives in their hands and they started to peel their fingers, and they forgot the position they were in, as being so astonished looking at Yusuf alayhi salam, and they said, this is not a human being, this is an angel. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will meet Yusuf alayhi salam, and he'll give Yusuf alayhi salam the salam, and Yusuf will reply back the salam, and Yusuf will welcome him and endorse his prophecy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will move on with Jibreel alayhi salam to the fourth heaven. And again, Jibreel alayhi salam will ask to enter the fourth heaven. And they'll ask, who is there? It is Jibreel. Is there anyone with you? Yes, Muhammad. Was that invitation sent to him? Yes. And they welcome. And they welcome the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam with the best of welcoming, knowing that this is the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The guest of honor. And what an honor to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the fourth heaven, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will meet his brother from the prophets and messengers, Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam will be given salam by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Idris will reply salam back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and welcome the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and endorse the prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will move to the fifth heaven. And in the fifth heaven, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will meet his brother Harun, the brother of Musa alayhi salam, Harun ibn Imran. And Harun will be given salam by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be welcomed by Harun. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be endorsed as a prophet by Harun, for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to move to the sixth and second last heaven, where he meets his brother Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam will be given salam by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Musa will reply the salam back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and welcome the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will come to leave Musa, Musa will start to weep and cry. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will ask, why are you crying? Why are you crying? So he'll say, I'm crying because there is a prophet that will come after me. His nation is a lot more greater than my nation. Whose nation is that? Whose nation is Musa referring to? He is referring to the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is us. Musa alayhi salam will weep and cry, knowing that there is a nation greater than his nation. And why shouldn't that nation to be greater than his nation when the prophet and the messenger of that nation is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will move on to the last and seventh heaven, where Jibreel alayhi salam, as he did in the previous six heavens, will excuse himself to enter the seventh heaven. And they ask, who is there? It is Jibreel. Is there anyone with you? It's Muhammad. Was an invitation sent to him? Yes. And they'll be welcomed by the gatekeepers of the seventh heavens, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will meet his grandfather Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam says, and I have never seen someone who is closer looking to Ibrahim than the one standing in front of you, referring to himself. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says, I have not seen someone who is closer looking to Ibrahim like me. He is the grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he said that Ibrahim alayhi salam was leaning his back to the Bayt al-Ma'mur. And what's the Bayt al-Ma'mur? The Bayt al-Ma'mur is like the Kaaba in the heavens. The way we have Kaaba on earth in Mecca, the Bayt al-Ma'mur is like the Kaaba in the heavens. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, every day, every single day, Allah will create 70,000 new angels. Every single day, Allah will create 70,000 new angels that will visit that Bayt al-Ma'mur and do circulation around that Bayt al-Ma'mur and never come back to it. 70,000 every single day. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows the soldiers of Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows their number except Allah. No one knows their powers except Allah. No one knows their strength except Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get the chance to meet his grandfather Ibrahim, a man that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praised a lot and spoke a lot of. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will give salam to Ibrahim. And Ibrahim will give salam back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and welcome the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And there Ibrahim will also say to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Muhammad, give my salam to your nation. Give my salam to your nation. So what do we say in return? Wa alayka salam ya Ibrahim. He's given us salam. So we should reply the salam back to him. And we say, wa alayka salam ya Ibrahim. And then he says, O Muhammad, inform your nation. Tell your nation that the paradise is beautiful. The paradise is beautiful. And it's a clear flat surface. Clear land, nothing on it. And the plants and the trees of that land is saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So every time you say Subhanallah, and every time you say Alhamdulillah, and every time you say La ilaha illallah, and every time you say Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plant for you a tree in the paradise. And what kind of a tree is it? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, it will take a quick Arabian horse over 100 years just to go past the shadow of the tree. So subhanallah is not a cheap word. Alhamdulillah is not like any other word. La ilaha illallah is the greatest of words. And Allahu Akbar, indeed Allah is the greatest. So don't be selfish on yourself to say subhanallah and alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah Allahu Akbar. While you're walking, while you're working, while you're driving, while you're doing something, is only except than being in the toilet. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue his journey to go and reach to Sidrat al-Muntaha. Sidrat al-Muntaha is the ending line. And there is narrations that says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he reached to Sidrat al-Muntaha, Jibreel stopped. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam looked behind and said, Oh Jibreel, why did you stop? You've been with me all this time and now you stop? So Jibreel would say, Oh Muhammad, by Allah, if I take one more step, I'll be gone. If I take one more step, I'll be vanished. And no one had ever gone past the line except you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. And Sidrat al-Muntaha, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he describes the Sidrat al-Muntaha as leaves wider than the ears of the elephant. And branches, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaks about. And he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change that tree and change it into scenes that you can't describe. Something that a human being never seen before. Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, something that I can't describe to you. Something I've never seen before. Something that's so magnificent, so miraculous, so great, that no human being can even think of or imagine. And there, Sidrat al-Muntaha, that's above the seventh heaven, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get the chance, and no other human being had ever got that chance to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam then will meet Allah azza wa jal. And the common question is, did he see Allah? Well, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was asked that question. Oh, a messenger of Allah, did you see Allah on the day of Isra? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nurun anna ara, a great light, how can I see him? A great light, how can I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Majority of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah, and no human being will see Allah in this world. It is only in the hereafter. It is that great moment, that great pleasure for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to meet his Lord, the one that he was worshipping. To meet his Lord, the one that he's praying to. To meet his Lord, the one that he's sacrificing for. What a great moment to stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, knowing that you are speaking to Allah and Allah is speaking to you. What a great opportunity. And yes, this was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from what Allah had spoken to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and what the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam heard from Allah, what we know that Allah Azza wa Jal had given the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam the greatest gift to this ummah. The greatest gift that was ever given to this ummah. And what gift is it? When you say the word gift, you think money, gold, silver, treasures, holiday houses, cars. But the greatest gift that was given to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the salah, the prayers. That salah, that prayers that many Muslims neglect. That salah, that prayers that many Muslims don't even have time for. They'll have time for sports. They'll have time for football. They'll have time for their entertainment, for their friends, for the haram. But for the salah, they don't even have time for. And what was that salah? It was a gift. A great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From Allah direct to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where every other commandment, every other order came from Allah through Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except the salah came from Allah direct to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which gives us the significance and the understanding of the significance of this salah. Gives us the understanding how great this salah is. And how many prayers did Allah give the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam then? 50 prayers. Not 5. 50 prayers, my brothers and sisters. If you want to divide that over 24 hours, that means every 28 minutes you must pray. Every 28 minutes you must pray. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descended from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking those 50 prayers and did not even argue. Did not even say, oh Allah, reduce them. Oh Allah, that are too much. Straight away the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took them. He took them and he's coming back with them to us. Look at the messenger of Allah. He took 50 prayers from Allah and is coming back to us. Oh, messenger of Allah, don't you know that we can't even pray 5 a day? You bring in 50 upon us. We can't even handle 5. So on the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's rahmah wanted to come through Musa alayhi salam. When Musa asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam on his way back, oh Muhammad, what did your Lord give you? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being happy, so happy, Allah has given me 50 prayers. To who? To your nation. 50 prayers to your nation, oh Muhammad. 50. And you're happy about 50 coming to your nation? Musa said, oh Muhammad. Oh Muhammad. I am the experienced one. I have experience with Bani Israel. And I know the dealing with people. Go back to your Lord and ask Him to reduce that 50. It's too much. That's too much on your nation. 50 prayers is too much. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went back to Allah and asked Allah and prayed to Him to reduce the 50. Some narration says Allah reduced 5. Some narration says Allah reduced 10. Whether 5 or 10, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ came back with 40. Came back with 40, or the other narration, 45. He came back again, coming back now from 50, 45. The Prophet ﷺ, what a gift, what a great gift. If Allah asked the Prophet ﷺ to pray to Him 100 times, the Prophet ﷺ will be more happy. But we are weak. Our iman is weak. And Musa knew that. So the Prophet ﷺ came back with 40 prayers. Musa asked the Prophet ﷺ, how many prayers did your Lord reduce? So the Prophet ﷺ said, 10. So the Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, Oh Muhammad, 40 prayers during the day or not is too much on your nation. Go back and ask your Lord to reduce. This is too much. Ask me, I know Bani Israel. I've dealt with people. Maybe you're still new in the experience of the da'wah, but I am Musa. I have a long history of experience. And we know Musa alayhi salam, what he faced and struggled through Bani Israel. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to Allah and asked Allah to reduce the 40. Allah asked Allah to reduce from the 40 prayers. So Allah reduced another 10. And as I mentioned, another narration says 5. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back. And Musa asked him, how many prayers did your Lord order you now? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 30. 30? Musa said, oh, go back to your Lord. 30 is still too much on your nation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between Allah and Musa. And every time he comes from Allah, Musa will say to him, how much did your Lord reduce? And he'll say 5 or 10. And then he'll go back to Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla reduced 5 or 10. And then he'll come back to Musa. And Musa says, it's too much. And go back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah reduced 5 and 10 until there were 5 prayers. From 50. From 50. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla reduced 45 prayers. From 50, Allah gave us 90%. 90% discount. Where do you ever get this? 90%. You usually get 10%, 20%. Have you ever negotiated with someone and went down, giving up 90%? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from 50 prayers to 5 prayers. And when Musa heard 5 prayers, he told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go back to your Lord, 5 prayers still not too much on your nation. 5 prayers, it's still too much on your nation. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wallahi, I am embarrassed. By Allah, I am embarrassed to go and ask my Lord for more than that. He reduced 45 out of 50. What am I going to ask Him? 1 prayer a day? 2 prayers a day? He's reduced out of 50, 45. And Musa would say to him, go back to your Lord, 5 prayers still too much on your nation. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am too embarrassed to go back to my Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is my orders. I have ordained them. It is 5 prayers during the day and night. 50 in rewards. 5 in action. 50 in rewards. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pray 1 prayer and Allah gives you the rewards of 10 prayers. For each hasana you do, you get 10 times. Subhanallah. How beautiful is Allah. Isn't that a Lord that deserves to be worshipped? And isn't that a man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man that deserves to be followed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also taken on a tour. But what kind of a tour is that? To experience the different world. A world that Allah had created, but we have not seen. And from that world, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see the paradise. And how beautiful is the paradise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see the paradise. He'll say that a spot of a stick, a whip, just that spot in the paradise is better than this whole world and what's in it. You know, when you put a stick on the land, on the ground, see the area that the stick takes, what, 1 centimeter by 10 centimeters? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that spot in the paradise is better than this whole world and what's in it. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be taken through a tour in the paradise. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken through a tour through the hellfire. Alayhi salatu wa sallam, after taking tour to the paradise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is taken a tour to the hellfire. The gatekeeper of the hellfire, his name is Malik. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his name in the Quran al-Kareem. وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكُ. And they said, O Malik, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. When is your Lord going to ordain and make the judgment upon us? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surprised to meet Malik. He was surprised to meet Malik. What was surprising about Malik is that every other angel the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met had a smile on his face, except Malik. Every other angel the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met had a smile on their face, except Malik. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel, why doesn't he smile? So Jibreel said, he is the gatekeeper of the hellfire. And what do you expect? He is the gatekeeper of the hellfire. All he sees is torture and punishment. All he sees is those who disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who neglected the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, what do you expect from him? That's all he does. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will mention some of the punishments that alayhi salatu wa sallam saw in the hellfire. He saw people being punished and he saw people being tortured in the hellfire in different ways and forms. And every time the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will see someone being punished, he'll ask Jibreel, who is that? So Jibreel will say to him, this is the one that used to commit zina, and this is the one that used to eat riba, and this is the one that used to slander, and this is the one that used to do this, and this is the one that used to do that. Different forms of punishments in the hellfire. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see that and ask Jibreel, and Jibreel will explain to him, this punishment is because of that, and this punishment is because of this. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this amazing tour, after this beautiful tour, meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal, meeting with the prophets and the messengers, seeing angels, going to seeing the paradise, seeing the hellfire, there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's time for his tour to end and to go back for his job. To go back to his job. Now you have to go back. You've seen, go act upon what you've seen. And on the way, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask Jibreel to appear to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has known Jibreel, spoken to Jibreel, but can we see your reality? Because Jibreel used to always come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in a form of a human being. This is the most times he'll come to him in a form of a human being. So this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to see his real form. So he said, show me your real form. So Jibreel will appear to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will see a scene that a human being's intellect and mind can't even handle, and he'll collapse sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and get unconscious. And then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will wake up and will describe him. His head was in the heavens and his feet were on the ground, on earth. He had two wings, each wing's made out of 600 wings. One wing covers the sun and covers the moon. This is Jibreel alayhi salam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's taken back on the same platform that he came on, going back to Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the other narration we mentioned, will meet all the prophets and messengers, 114,000 prophet and messenger, waiting for someone to lead the prayer. 114,000 prophet and messenger, the best of people and the best of mankind, the greatest of people on earth, the greatest of people in history, the greatest and the most beloved people to Allah Azza wa Jal. 114,000 of them waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lead the prayer. They're waiting for someone to lead the prayer. And who is going to lead the prayer? The leader of all mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the status of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come back from Jerusalem to Masjid al-Aqsa, from Masjid al-Aqsa to Masjid al-Haram, from Jerusalem to Mecca. And there the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam comes back from this amazing journey. How long did it take him? Maybe seconds, maybe minutes. Allah, the one that controls the day and night, controls everything. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the next day sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanted to tell his people about this great miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and he told people, Allah took me to the Masjid al-Aqsa and I went to the heavens and this. And the people of Quraysh took the opportunity to take advantage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make mockery of him alayhi salatu wa sallam. So they said to him, O Muhammad, if you really went to Masjid al-Aqsa, describe it to us. Describe Masjid al-Aqsa to us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was revealed to him Masjid al-Aqsa in front of him, and he described it door by door, pillar by pillar, gate by gate. And they were amazed because some of them been to Masjid al-Aqsa and it takes him 2 months to get there and 2 months back. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, not only that, but there is a caravan that's coming after 3 days. And this caravan will come early in the morning. So the next, after 3 days, they were waiting for the caravan to come. So one of them said, he is the sun had rose. And the other one said, and he's the caravan had arrived. This is the prophecy of whom Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue with him alayhi salatu wa sallam. More about him alayhi salatu wa sallam. More about his character sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More about his status sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the following weeks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from him. Subhanak Allahum bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
To listen to or download more Islamic lectures, please visit www.islamicmedia.com.au.